Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Our Brains Hurt. This episode, like every other one, is brought to you by Punkbox. If you're looking for an awesome punk rock merch monthly subscription service, and if you're not, you should be, or a gift for somebody else, check out Punkbox at punkboxrocks.com. That's punkboxrox.com. It is a monthly subscription service. Anything that you would find at a merch table at a punk show delivered to your house in an awesome box every month. It could include things like stickers, button patches, koozies, shot glasses, coffee, vinyl, CDs, all sorts of cool shit. Anything you'd find at a merch table. Obviously, it's different every month. A bunch of random stuff in there. It's awesome to get. Punkboxrocks.com. That's punkboxrox.com. This episode is also brought to you by Merch Slut. If you're looking for awesome band t-shirts, not cheap ripoffs, Merch Slut gets her shirts right from the band or the label. Head over to merchslut.com for all your punk band t-shirt needs and check out her accessories like Pop Funko dolls. I know she had a couple of or a bunch of Milo Ackerman figurines from you know Descendants, and she has a whole bunch of cool shit at her site. So check out merchslut.com for cool shit. And as always, check us out on all social media outlets at Our Brains Hurt and at OurBrainsHurt.com. Follow me at Twitter at The Caffeine Punk and follow Matt at MattAlive13. Now, let's get to the show.
Well, they needed a jingle for their stupid little show, so they called up the Jasons and we said,
fuck no.
Then they called us again and they gave us $20 and we wrote them a song that said,
your podcast sucks.
Then they gave us more money and they asked us really nice and we finally gave in. Song, but it's gonna be a clone of a Screeching Weasel song that we heard a while ago. So we wrote them a jingle and it sounded really rad. It was the best little jingle that their podcast ever had. But the file got corrupted and the email didn't work. Now they're stuck without a jingle singing Our Brains Hurt. 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 Our Brains Hurt.
Tonight we are talking to Camellia from Music for All. We found each other on Twitter, I think it was. She came across our podcast and reached out to me. I think it was because of the John Joseph episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. You know, and talked about how she thought it was refreshing that we had different views allowed on our podcast.
Yeah. We allow all views here.
That's right.
Not like, you know, real life apparently who chastises right. People for what's the new thing now? We're going to have I Stand With Ukraine passports.
Oh yeah, probably. Fucking their virtue signaling is just like out of control. But whatever.
Didn't they just give another $800 million to Ukraine today?
Yeah.
Well, after we gave them like $14 billion or whatever.
Yeah, and we still don't have healthcare for everyone, and people still live under bridges. So
yeah, but you know, it's good. Cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, we'll just give away our tax dollars. Totally yeah. Cool.
Maybe we have when a country invades us, we give ourselves $8 billion.
Yeah,
and then we can get that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, aren't we going in now? Aren't we?
Are we?
I think as of today, officially at war or something.
Seriously?
That's not good. I think I saw something about it. I don't know. I've been out of the fucking loop.
They're all pieces of shit. Whatever. Yeah. I'm talking about our government.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening over there is, you know, very unfortunate and shitty for the people. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, shit.
Like having your apartment building blown up. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say, you know, and I said that earlier, it's not to say that I don't stand with anybody on the ground anyway.
Right.
You know, because I fuck war.
Yeah,
This shit's stupid. It just makes a bunch of rich people richer.
Yep.
And fucking and the citizens suffer. And they're not even the citizens never want war.
Never. Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. Well, Camellia is in the room. I'm going to let her in.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Is this all working?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It sounds great.
Oh, okay. Yep. This is my first. My boyfriend helped me set this up like way better than I would have on my own. So
awesome. So what's going on?
You know, straight chilling.
Yeah. Same.
Crushing yeah. depression like the rest of the
yeah.
world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, same old, same old.
Yeah, no big deal.
Just nothing just a few Zoloft can't handle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been great here lately because I've been starting to meet a lot of people in Nashville that you know, believe in freedom and music, and that's been very refreshing and
awesome.
So I'm optimistic about the future for the first very time good. In a while.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Are you new to Nashville or have you been there for a while?
New. So we moved from Brooklyn in May of last year. Down to, we're like about 45 minutes outside of Nashville in Bon Aqua. It's quite rural and I thought I would miss living in the city, but considering you can't do anything in the city anymore, yeah. there's not quite anything to miss. So it's been great. Yeah. And everyone's very nice here.
Yeah. It's funny. Those are, two topics that I wanted to get into with you. The fact that you actually moved and the fact that, people there are very nice. Because I think those are two things that the punks, before we get into all this stuff, we found each other on Twitter, right? Like that was, I think you reached out to me because of the John Joseph episode we did.
I think I found you before, but yeah, I think on
it
Twitter.
It was before that, yeah.
And then I saw that you, you're coughing on Bridget Phetasy. And so I like put all that together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, this is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Bridget's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... And yeah, and I wrote a piece for you guys. So first of all, just tell us about like, where did you grow up? Like, where are you from originally? And what kind of, how did you kind of get into punk rock and live music?
So I grew up in the Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina area. Okay. And it's so funny because like when I was in high school, I was like, it's so lame here. But now like in hindsight, it's like, holy shit, that was like an insanely awesome music scene to grow up in. And so yeah, I was just like going to shows, going to like community shows and the Cat's Cradle all the time. And I was just really, really into music and loved live music. And then I ended up interning and then working at Merge Records later on, who I don't think agree with anything that I'm talking about lately, but yeah, so I just was very like heavily involved in that music scene until I ended up moving to Brooklyn about 4 years ago to work for Domino Records, and then inevitably moving back down here to just escape the big city.
Yeah
yeah.
It sucks too because Brooklyn's cool.
I'm sure it was.
I think like I'm sure it was at some point.
Yeah.
It was cool in the 80s and the height of the mafia. That's when it
well.
Was. Yeah. Yeah, like my boyfriend's like born and raised there, and he I met him in New York, and he would like want to take me to all this like cool shit, and then it just like didn't exist anymore. And it was like so, because he'd been like really busy with work for like a couple years, and he would like try to take me to like this cool thing, and then it just like it either sucked really bad or it like wasn't there anymore. And so I think I kind of got in like during the downfall, and then now it's just like an actual hellscape.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess I should restate that because like it's been a minute since I've been to Brooklyn, so yeah, I guess it was pretty cool. I don't know what it's like now.
But it was, I mean, the time that I was there, like the shows that I got to go to, like I got to see Jawbreaker and like just everything that like I've ever wanted to see just every night, like constantly. And so it was really like I'm so thankful that I got to experience that. Like it was wonderful, like living there and going to shows.
Yeah, yeah. So I know, like, you started. Did you start Music for All Club?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
cool.
Just me. My boyfriend helps me out a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, it's me.
So go ahead and talk about that. Like, what is it, and what made you go ahead and start that?
So, especially when we moved down to Tennessee, I was expecting that, you know, since there weren't government restrictions, that everything was just going to be wide open. Mm-hmm. And so when I started looking at shows and seeing that there were still restrictions and realizing that like it had more to do with the individual artists and with the promoters and Live Nation and stuff like that, I started trying to figure out what venues are doing mandate-free shows. And then through doing that, I started reaching out to different musicians. And it ended up kind of morphing into just sharing musician stories because no one really knew the answer. There's not like, you know, we can't compile like a very good list. And so the solution to me seemed to be to just share these stories, get people talking about how this has like affected them personally as musicians, how hard this has been for them, and like how we shouldn't be dismissing live music as like frivolous or anything like that, because it's extremely important, especially 2 years in. Like, it's, come on, like we need to just, right. It needs to be open already. And then, like, I guess from just talking to so many different people, it does seem like the best thing to do, at least from my perspective, is to kind of build a network of like DIY venues or like there's probably a few venues standing that are like-minded, but for the most part, especially the ones that have like indie or punk or experimental shows, they do seem to be in this sort of strange mandate trance or something. And it started as just trying to help in any way I can and just trying to figure out, just talking to people and figuring out what we should do, because this is very bad.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, when I checked out your site for the first time, it was awesome to see like other people openly talking about things, because one of the things that really pisses me off about, I don't know if you want to call it like wokeness or whatever the fuck it is that it really stifles conversation, and you can get attacked just for saying, hey, maybe since you could get COVID and give and transmit it whether you're vaccinated or not, maybe there shouldn't be mandates. Like, that's like saying 1 + 1 = 2 and you get fucking shit on. So it was super cool to go there and like see like other people talking about it, and it definitely gave me like more courage to speak out about it. It made me less fearful of doing the John Joseph episode.
That episode is awesome.
I know. He's so yeah. funny.
I expected him to go on a COVID rant, but I didn't expect it to be like epic like it was. Like,
yeah.
Did y'all get a lot of backlash from that?
No.
Not really. Not at all.
That's the thing about all of this is like, if you're not worried about losing your job and you're not worried about other ramifications, you just need to speak up, because like most people agree with us, I think. Mm. And that's, I think like I was really concerned about like losing my job, and I still like, honestly, like I could get into some trouble because I currently work in vinyl manufacturing. So I have a lot of clients that don't agree with any of this stuff. But you know, like for the most part, no one's paying attention to what I'm doing. And so it's mostly just finding people that agree with me and then like making new friends. So it's not as scary as I thought it would be.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think a lot of people agree, but they're too afraid to speak up. So, the thing to do is just keep speaking up, because then eventually enough people are going to hear you speaking up and think like, okay, it's okay to speak up. Like Matt and I are outside of DC. It might not be as, I was going to say as conservative as Brooklyn, which is funny, but, or as, you know, but, they're so liberal, they're conservative. That's what happened. It went in a full circle.
It's insane. I do not understand how like especially the hard left, or maybe you want to say neoliberals or something. I don't understand how they flipped so fast. I don't get it.
It's woke.
It's
woke.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just peer pressure, and it's when you're a performer, you know, it's easy for somebody to shit on you, and then your gigs are fucked. You know what I mean? And that's your income. You rely on like those interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Yeah, totally.
No, and I think it's like, it's completely understandable that like a musician would not want to be like extremely outspoken about this stuff. But I think the solution is just them quietly playing shows. And I think that's what like kind of makes it difficult from like a fan perspective, is finding the musicians doing that. I've been talking to, there's a couple people that have started this daily newsletter in Nashville called the Pamphleteer, and they're kind of, it's, you know, they talk about a lot of just like current events, and they compile events that are mandate free. But it's really like, it's super cool. And when I talk to them just about the idea that just like, there's no like alternate right now, like there's shows with mandates, but there's no like, you know, you can go see Travis Tritt, which is like cool. Like he's like a base god for standing up for this stuff, but there's no like nothing equal to the shows with the mandates. And so hopefully if like we can start providing shows like that, then it'll be less of a like less polarizing, and people will just be like, it's more fun over here. Let's do freedom again now.
I mean, I've noticed that like a lot of places are, you know, they you know, announce or whatever with the show that mandates, blah, 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 whatever their rules are. But then as soon as you get there, like none of it is actually like nobody's enforcing any of it. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's really doing anything about it. It's just kind of like a virtue signaling thing.
I've been curious about that because I met my friend at Americana Fest and I just like got some drinks with her, but I didn't go inside because I was like, fuck that shit. And then I like wonder, I'm like, these people aren't getting paid enough to enforce this stuff. I bet they're just, they don't care. Like,
they don't. In most places, that's been my experience of going to shows. It's just like, they say it and put it on their flyers and stuff just so they don't get chastised. But then once you get there, like, it's just like normal.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause you could, cause a lot of them, like before, I mean, most of this area, the mask mandates are gone. But when they were in place, if you were drinking, you could have your mask off because that makes a lot of sense. So what people would do is just walk around with their beer and their mask off.
You can't catch anything. It's a known fact.
Yeah. Something about it can't cross over a liquid
yeah,
and go into somebody. Fact. I think that's what it is. That's the science. But you would get it once you get in there, and like a couple times I've seen people told once or twice, but then I don't know. It's all like Matt said, it's virtue signaling. It's all them just, and like now, like in DC, there's no more mandate for the, you know, your vaccination for your papers, and there's no mandate for masks, but there are still clubs, Pie Shop, I love you, but they're one of them that's still doing it. You know, I mean, the Pie Shop at least has brought back the negative test, but it's like, it's so fucking annoying. Because you cannot make a scientific argument for it. You can't.
No,
that's the thing that, like, especially after I feel like everyone that was boosted got sick in December. And it's like, I mean, I don't know if the vaccine works or not, but I mean, at the least, can we just acknowledge that, like, it's not like everyone can get it? Like, I don't, it's like incoherent. And I just saw, have y'all ever gone to Mac Rock?
No. Oh.
It's, I think it's at JMU.
I did in the early days of
it is
in Harrisonburg.
I used to go there when I was younger, and I quite fond of it. And then I went a couple of times when I was working at Merge, and I just saw that they posted that you have to have had a booster within the past 6 months or have been vaccinated within the past 6 months. So that could potentially land people at four shots to go to Mac Rock, and that's just wild. Like, it's
insane.
It doesn't Guess seem what? Like a good idea.
I'm not going to Mac Rock.
These are the same people who would scream at you to follow the CDC until the CDC said something they don't like.
Yeah.
It's a cult.
It's bizarre. I can't, it's very strange. And it's like, it's very creepy because it's like once you see it, then you can't unsee it. And then you were like, certainly everyone else is going to catch on soon. And then.
That's so funny. Cause it is, it's like, once you kind of awaken to the fact that, hey, you know, why are we doing this? It's when you see other people who haven't, it's like, dude, like what the fuck is wrong with you? Like what? Like, I mean, you see like celebrities, like fucking what's her name? That's asshole from The View. Joy Behar. It was like, I'm wearing a mask permanently.
Yeah, go ahead. Except you're not wearing one right now.
Except you're not saying it right now indoors next to people.
No, I've seen a lot of people saying that they're going to wear masks indefinitely because everyone's disgusting. And I'm just like, how is that woke to say that everyone's like a walking like vessel for disease? Like, that's not very inclusive, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, I guess. And it's just so sad.
I think as logical people, like as thinkers, you know, like the three of us are, and a lot of people are, we want to find the logic and like, what are they thinking? But there isn't. So you just have to accept it, that they're in a cult, and they may or may not ever be saved. And that's it. It's,
where did all this trust in the government come from?
That's another thing.
That's what I want to know. Cause like, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s, there was no trust for the government amongst like the
punks,
the punk rock left. Like, you know, and I guess you maybe during those days you could consider most of the punk rock scene to be like somewhat left. I don't ever remember hearing about like conservative punk rock movements back in the 90s. That didn't come, I think, till like somewhere in the 2000s, but you know, it started for several reasons, I think, but one of them is this, like, what, where did this trust of the government come from in the punk rock scene? I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's so bizarre to me. And I've also been like fascinated by, and like trying to like dabble in research and writing about on my blog, like, cause it does seem like it, I mean, this, not to sound like too conspiratorial, but it does seem like the government trying to steer a counterculture movement in a certain direction into the point that it is now, because it's like, it worked. Like, you have anarcho-punks voting for Biden proudly. And it's like, what are you talking about? I don't understand.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Insane. It is. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. This whole fucking world has been turned upside down.
It's very impressive. Like, I'd love to figure out how this was done, because
very quickly, like, too.
Yeah, I've never been able to successfully manipulate anyone to this level.
I know.
Yeah. You know, it only took 2 years to get to this point.
Well, I feel like a lot of the, I'm sure this is a hot take, but a lot of the Me Too stuff kind of led to this self-censorship that we had with the COVID stuff, because people were so scared of saying the wrong thing, with all the canceling, even though allegedly there's no canceling or whatever. But yeah, I think they were just kind of like dialing up the self-censorship. And it's so weird, because I feel like when you're little and you learn about like peer pressure, and if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? And you're kind of like, when would that happen? And now it's like,
this is what they were talking about. Ah, shit.
Yeah, it's like, dope. We're like, yeah, we're there. Yeah, it's so crazy. It's so crazy how a group that just prides itself on being like independent and individual and could be such bullies to people who don't think like them. You know, and that's, look, if you want to wear a mask, I'm not going to make fun of you for wearing a mask. Yeah.
Do what you want, you know, like,
but give me that same respect.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's all.
If you've got that fear, like, you know, none of us are going to freaking try to, you know, prey on your fears. Like, most of us are going to try to help you out as much as we can, but just like, don't fucking tell us that we have to be scared too.
Right.
Like, if, yeah, it's my choice to not be scared.
Yeah.
Right. And like, that's okay. Like, I don't have to be scared.
It's not okay, Matt.
oh, it's not?
No.
Oh shit. Sorry.
Sorry. I hate to be the one that break it to you.
I'm way off, out of line. That's normal.
Well, I think that's what's going to be the hardest part, in what I think is necessary, is just being extremely nice to the people who are not very nice to us, because I don't think we're going to create tolerance with more intolerance. And so, like, I mean, a lot of people seem to think we should razz the people that have been razzing us for the past 2 years. And I completely understand that urge, but I think we just have to be really, really nice.
Yeah. It's not the answer.
It's hard.
Yep. Cause that's what's going to continually happen. Cause that's what has continually happened, is, you know, as soon as, I mean, I hate to put it into terms of like one side versus the other, but like, historically, that's what happens everywhere. I mean, look at like, say a country like, you know, like Libya, when they killed Gaddafi or assassinated him, whatever you want to call it, like mob murder, the two sides in that country were like essentially fighting for the same thing. It was like, nothing changed when the one side took over from the other. They just wanted to be in power. They just wanted to be the correct ones. And literally the country has been run the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aside from, you know,
that's what I anticipate. It's just a right wing backlash that gets us right back towards fascism again. So
yeah, because like, I mean, you're already starting to see like a bunch of states making these like crazy abortion laws out of nowhere for no fucking reason. Like, mm-hmm. why are you doing that? All you're doing is pushing the people that dislike you like into a worse place, you know? Like, why?
So you moved from Brooklyn to Tennessee. And so that's, you know, that's something that a lot of people always kind of like, you know, especially at election time. Well, if this person wins, I'm leaving, you know, whatever. So I think it was rad that you did that. I mean, was there a certain, a specific like event that led to you for you to move or want to get out of Brooklyn? Or was it just kind of like a whole bunch of stuff?
I think it was a whole bunch of stuff. We ended up moving right before the mandates, but I honestly didn't, the vaccine mandates, but I honestly didn't think it was going to get that bad that fast. I kind of felt like mm-hmm. we were being a little dramatic. I think it was more fueled by my boyfriend just wanted to own some acreage, and you know, everyone and their brother is trying to do that right now. So he just kind of, he got us a little 10 acre thing here and it's great. But I honestly, like, I got COVID last year, right when they were starting to roll out the vaccines in New York. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't need to get the vaccine then. And I kind of still, I'm not entirely sure that people that had it should get the vaccine. Mm. I haven't really seen evidence to make me feel good about that. And so, I mean, I would have probably been fired from my job. I would have, and I wouldn't have been able to go a lot of places. So, that was also my boyfriend got assaulted.
Oh really?
And was like denied like a decent amount of medical treatment when the lockdown started. So it was kind of like a, we're going to die here for some dumb fucking reason. It was just like quietly boiling up.
Yeah. Wow. Damn. Yeah. It's the crime is insane.
Oh, yes. There was also, I was commuting to Crown Heights for work. And I think for some people were like threatening each other with a gun on the subway. And it was weird because when I moved to New York, it was like peak, like dumbass bitch in New York. Like you could literally like pass out on the train and nothing bad would happen to you. Mm-hmm. And then it just, after the lockdowns, it was just like, it's like, no, you need to be like strapped, which like you can't even do in New York. So you're just like fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was very unsafe there.
Yeah, I was just there this weekend. My mother lives in Long Island. And I have family in the Bronx and in Manhattan. But yeah, we're just watching the news. It's just fucking crazy. Like assaults, like subway assaults, like just somebody was pushed in front of the subway like a few weeks ago. Like, God, it's bad. It's like back in the 70s. It's like what's the Warriors? It's like back in that time. Like gangs roaming the streets and shit.
Yeah, it's weird though because it's like when that stuff was happening, at least like cool cultural stuff was going along with it. Yeah. And that was kind of like the last straw for us. Is it's like, why are we paying $2,000 a month to live in this apartment when we can't go anywhere? Like if you completely strip the culture out of New York, then like it's not very good.
Yeah, that's true. But that's funny.
The one thing in New York that kills me right now is like, you know, Ron and I are both sports fans, but I'm watching like Brooklyn Nets, like Kyrie Irving. I don't know if you've seen this.
Oh yeah.
It's that like he can't play home games in New York. I think, and baseball is about to do the same thing. Like he can't play home games in New York, but he can sit on the sidelines without a mask and do whatever he wants. He just can't be on the court and play with his teammates. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. While his teammates are bumping into each other,
like what?
Heavily breathing.
And then he's like packed in between people on the sidelines, you know, like what is that? It doesn't make any sense at all.
It's madness. Yeah.
I like really thought once Cuomo got out that everything was going to be okay again. That was very naive.
I'm sure a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah, it's happening. And it was like much worse. I learned my lesson there.
He did mutter the best statement I've ever heard on television, though, which I constantly reiterate. Yeah, I'm not perverted. I'm just Italian.
There was this one press conference where the reporters are trying to figure out if school is going to be open the next day, and he's just getting real pissed. And he just kept yelling, "We did it already," or he probably only said it once. My boyfriend and I like yell, "We did it already," at each other all the time. But I can't do a New York accent. It's like it's pathetic.
That's funny.
He's got some good one-liners.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. He and his brother. That's another shit show. It's crazy,
those,
man.
Those are the politicians that you end up missing because, you know, they get, you know, ousted or whatever. And then you're like, yeah. Oh, okay, well, whatever. They're gone. That's cool. We'll get somebody else in here. Things are going to be different. Yeah. And then the next person gets in and you're like, oh, man, this guy sucks. He doesn't even make cool quotes.
At least De Blasio is gone. De Blasio is, I don't know how that dude like became elected or I don't know. Well, I do. It's New York, but.
I feel like he was trying to provoke people, like trying to make people mad. Like the whole, like, wasn't he dancing alone with his wife on New Year's Eve or something? Like, oh my God. Yeah.
That seems like something he'd do.
And then he started that like street performer initiative and that was like, and that was so bizarre. That was the most bizarre press conference I've ever seen in my life. It's like, I don't know, people dancing while nobody else can go anywhere.
Yeah, that shit was like super bleak. Speaking of outdoor shows in New York, I was so excited about that. I totally missed that Madball show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I like would have definitely gone to that. And I could not believe how much they got razzed for having like an outdoor show. That's the thing that's been so weird about all of this. Like, if you're concerned, then there's like do it outside or like do heavy ventilation or something. But they did that and then they still got like publicly shamed. I think I couldn't really tell. I feel like none of those people, they're all smart enough to not have like a significant online presence. So
right. Yeah.
Well, you know, they probably killed like 17 grandmas or something.
Oh yeah. At least unlike Cuomo's like 1700 grandmas.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's all, I think it's just people want to be the first to criticize somebody because they want those social media points, you know, with their other friends. Like, so
virtue signaling.
Any sign of happiness from the other side is going to be shit on. Like, oh, you're playing outside? No, not good enough.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm happy. You can't fucking make me not be. Any of you motherfuckers. I'll be happy till the day I die.
Did you get shit from people like that you knew in Brooklyn for moving?
No, because I feel like in the back of their minds, everyone wishes they could move.
They were like crying, like, please take me.
Like, I was after I moved here, I was talking to my friend on the phone, and well, they kind of like joked that I was like, we were like starting a cult down here or something, but I just like brushed that shit off because it's like, okay, at least I don't believe in dumbass pseudoscience. But anyway, that was
you're the one starting
as opposed
the cult.
To the cult
but I was like talking to my friend and she's like walking down the street and some guy is just like harassing the fuck out of her like really aggressively, and I'm just like, okay, how do you not like I'm out here calm drinking fresh water and like growing my own plants. But crazy. I mean, it's extremely cost prohibitive to move. Like, I mean, I really like people are legitimately trapped in these terrible places now. And it's really unfortunate. Like, I don't know what to do. I feel like people should get out of the cities, but it's obviously easier said than done. Are y'all in like, you're like outside of DC?
I'm in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Matt's in Virginia.
I'm in a city, but it's a small city, like Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, half. I don't know if you know where it is, but it's like halfway between DC and Richmond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Maryland is a very blue state, but we have a Republican governor who has like a 70% approval rating, which is cool.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like the highest approval rating in the country. That's and he's it. A governor or a Republican in a blue, very blue state.
That's super weird.
Yeah, it is.
An agreeable dude. That's good.
Yeah. He, you know, listens to other people and people
can't
like
do that.
You can't listen to people or have conversations with people. What are you talking about?
I know.
But point fingers and chastise. It's the only way.
That's right. I mean, our restrictions are pretty much all gone now. Schools were like the last to turn, and that went away like a month ago.
The school stuff is so sad. I feel it is like sad.
Especially here in Virginia.
Yeah. Or like in California, it's like in LA, they're still making the kids wear masks. When you just had a Super Bowl with all these rich people walking around with no mask on, it's like, fuck you. That's like,
terrible.
Yep.
How the fuck can you be a parent and not be so pissed off at that? I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah. It makes no sense. Like, also, because the young kids, they just get them all slimy and weird. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't do anything to them.
Like,
they're not even hardly at risk.
The whole first year, no masks on kids, like no problem. And then all of a sudden they have to wear them and they can't ever take them off again. Like, it's incoherent.
It's
crazy.
I just,
it's like here in Virginia, we elected a new governor and the first thing he did was take away the mask mandates statewide. And then immediately after that, what happened is all the Northern Virginia like school districts banded together to sue his office. Which is insane, right? But I don't know if it was a Supreme Court judge or you know, just like one of the Virginia judges or whatever, eventually had to throw out his executive order for the mask mandate because Virginia state law stated that we have to abide by CDC guidelines. That was actually a law on the book. And the CDC guidelines for schools said they had, you know, the suggestion was that kids still needed to wear masks. So the judge threw out the executive order because the lawsuit from all these school districts that had gotten together actually would have been valid and they would have been successfully able to sue the governor's office. So instead of allowing that to happen, they had to throw his executive order out, or the judge threw his executive order out, so they couldn't rightfully sue the governor's office. But then but now some of the school districts have finally caved and started like taking the mask mandate away. I think there's like three or four of them that were all in it that have done that. So it's they're headed in the right direction, but it's just a really weird instance.
It's crazy.
I just don't understand the doubling down. Like, wouldn't you just be like,
because you can't be wrong, because it's all about your team being right. That's all that matters.
But they have to see at this point this is going to end poorly for them, especially with the children in masks. Like, I wouldn't want my name on that. Like,
right. Well, that's why. I mean, that's why the governor won. I mean, that was a really huge deal that Youngkin won.
Yeah.
And they're saying it really. This says a lot about the upcoming elections in November.
Well, you know, that's why there's a war going on right now, because
all
those narratives were crumbling.
Yeah.
and a lot of people that were, you know, for all that stuff were starting to wake up and realize, hey, like we've been lied to and this isn't right. And then boom, I stand with Ukraine.
That's the thing that like... It's so frustrating, especially a lot of the people that were like good on COVID, like falling for this. It's like, this is clearly,
fucked
up and wrong too.
Same cult, very similar way.
Same cult.
Yeah. But you said the people in Tennessee are really nice. And that's something that I've noticed. Like, you know, my family is from New York. I lived there for a while. I go back all the time. And I've traveled all throughout the South. And I love the South. You know, my daughter's going to University of Kentucky starting next year. Aww. So I've been there a couple times and it's fucking great. And if, you know, my wife is like super liberal, so I'll never end up, unless I get a divorce, living in the South. But that's the first thing I'm doing if we ever get divorced. But it's so funny, like when you're around like a lot of New Yorkers or people from LA, and they talk so much shit about how like nasty people in the South are. And then you go and it's like, wow, you're like, they're the assholes. You guys are nice. So fucking nice and friendly. And it's like, fuck those other people.
Except Florida.
Well, that's like growing up in North Carolina, and I do think there was a lot of, I don't know if like propaganda, like I don't know what the right word is for it, but there was a lot of things making, like, encouraging people to believe that the South is backwards and fucked up. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to be a real person, you had to move to the big city. And I felt that way. Like, I definitely took a lot of stuff for granted about North Carolina. And it wasn't until I got to Brooklyn that I was like, oh my God, like, this is not for me. It was a good experience, and I'm glad I got to live there. And I think like living in different places is really important for people. But then when we came back down here to Tennessee, first of all, people are way nicer in Tennessee than they were in North Carolina, which is odd. But then it does just make me think, like, people are hiding this from us. Like, this is how you're supposed to live. Like, you know, like, I don't have an alarm clock anymore. I feel like the best I ever have. I've made friends way faster than anywhere ever. And, mm-hmm. And people are just like, just genuinely helpful in a way that you just, especially with customer service stuff, it's so hard to get nowadays. It's just really nice for people that just like take pride in their work. And it's so sad that, I don't know, like, that people would think that this was, it's not that at all. Like, it's not racist. It's not dumb. It's wonderful.
Tennessee's a great spot, though. Tennessee really is. I mean, you know, my brother's to the west. We share a border for a little bit, at least.
Yeah, that's
Virginia,
right.
Virginia, but it is. Tennessee is a really great spot. I have, every time I played a show in Tennessee, always loved it. Every city. Great, great place.
Yeah, I've been to Knoxville a few times, but that's it, really. But yeah, I love it. It's awesome. I just love the vibe. It's my speed, you know, like, and the food is fucking, the food is so good down in the South. It's so fucking good.
Yes.
The Nashville hot chicken.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I don't know. I went through like a big political shift years ago. And that's one of the things that kind of woke me up to it was the attitude of people in New York. And I say New York just because that's my experience when it comes to that kind of a place. Just kind of like, you know, meeting other people and being like, man, like, these people are like so much more accepting of other stuff than those fucking New Yorkers. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And it's like the people who claim to be the open-minded ones will bully
they're not
the
so
fuck out of
you.
No. they are the antithesis of open-minded. It was also a bunch. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to politics. It's funny. One of the things I saw, I remember when, what's his name from Twisted Sister?
Dee Snider.
Yeah, Dee Snider. Remember when he went in front of Congress and, in front of Al Gore.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I saw a video of that later on in life, probably when I was in my like early mid 20s. And I always thought that I always voted Democrat because my parents did. And I never really paid attention. And so I just figured that all things that were good were Democrat and all things that were bad were Republican.
Yes.
And then I saw that and I was like, what is it, the PMRC, that group that was like, yeah, I was like, heartbroken when I realized that she was the one that was leading that. Like,
yeah,
it's like, but you're supposed to be the open mind. Like, I just felt so like lied to and like ashamed that I wasn't paying attention.
There were conservatives on board with that too, though. Yeah. But yeah, that was super shitty.
No, that's one of the like things on my to-do list is like a where are they now for all the artists that testified in that, because a lot of them kind of suck now and it's weird. And then Frank Zappa's dead, unfortunately, because I feel like he would have been like real good on all this shit.
Yeah.
But no such
luck. Yeah.
I mean, we're right back there now.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of organization leading the charge for any censorship right now? I don't know if there is.
I think they're just completely stamping it all out.
The government?
Half
the country. I mean, they're trying to, now they're going after Russell Brand.
Oh yeah. I knew they would.
Rogan. Yeah, I knew
they would eventually.
Yeah.
He did that episode about being right wing. I don't know if you if you saw that.
Yeah. Well, he also just crossed over 5 million subscribers. So I think so that's five times CNN's evening viewership.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
That's the thing. It seems like something triggers these attacks other than just what they're saying, because he's been saying like cool shit for a really long time.
He has.
Yeah. I like with the all of the artists banding together to cancel Joe Rogan and that being covered by like all the music blogs, and that none of the music blogs write about music anymore. They just write about pop culture and politics, and just all of that is very, very strange to me. And I think a lot of the artists that were speaking up against him, like, don't own their catalogs anymore entire, at least not 100%. So it's like, who, like, someone is clearly doing this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, Neil Young sold his.
Neil Young had just recently sold his entire catalog to what was a BlackRock. Well, it was like a subsidiary of BlackRock for like $50 million or something. And then coincidentally, right after he did that, what was it, like 2 weeks later, he was right back on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yep. Same thing with Joni Mitchell. Both of them are still on Spotify now. You don't hear a fucking peep from them.
It's just, it's awful. It's awful. Yeah,
good job, guys. Good job.
You're just like
doing some great work.
Imagine if that's like your like PR campaign for your new album is like, okay, we're going to threaten to take our music off Spotify.
Yeah.
I loved Spotify's initial response to that whole thing. Like, you know, he was basically like, you know, take me off or take, I don't think he said take Joe Rogan off, but he's like, we can't exist on the same platform. So if he's there, I can't be there. And Spotify was like, oh, we didn't realize you're on our platform.
Yeah.
It's also, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure all of these statements were written and none of them were recorded, which I also found odd. Like, are these people even still alive? Like, I don't know. Right. Like, this is very bizarre.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see any video of him saying any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I don't remember. 7 years ago of COVID.
Everyone died 7 years ago. That's why everything's terrible.
Yep. That's right.
Oh no.
What are you what are you currently spinning? What are you currently listening to?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I will tell you. One of the people that I interviewed, his most recent project, he goes by Musician. And he told me about Sum Punk Records in Des Moines, Iowa. Is that how you say it? Des Moines, Iowa?
Des Moines. I think
Des Moines, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah. But they're just like wonderful. This band, Fetal Pigs, that he is in is fantastic. Nice. It's like progressive, whatever, like heavy explosions in the sky. I'm really bad at talking about music. but just everything on Sum Pump Records, I'm kind of obsessed with.
Cool.
Sum Pump Records, huh?
Yeah.
Out of Des Moines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great.
I feel like I haven't heard of that label. Interesting.
And then I never heard of them before either, but they're fantastic. The like entire like Des Moines noise scene is like fascinating and like sick as fuck. Cool. Which I would have never if I wasn't doing this blog, I would have never found out about it. And so that's been really great. There's also an artist that I interviewed a while ago named Gold Pony. And he just released like a new mixtape, and it has kind of like Death Grips vibes. It's like kind of like beats and screaming, and I like it a lot.
Cool.
Beats and screaming.
I probably did all of this like I probably made it all sound insane. It's good.
It's so many things going through my head right now. I'm gonna check it out though.
Yeah for sure. What were some of the first like punk bands you started listening to?
Well, I mean, that's debatable because I started with the emo. Alkaline Trio. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, they count. They're a punk rock band.
Really into Alkaline Trio in high school.
I mean, I'm still into Alkaline Trio.
Yeah. They were like, sometimes I can't believe that Matt Skiba is in Blink 182. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what like timeline is this? Like, that's so bizarre. But good for him.
I know.
But yeah, I was like really into Asian Man and Vagrant and all that shit. Discord, which I'm sure y'all are
Oh yeah. I know quite well. Yeah. I actually got to record an EP at Inner Ear Studios, which is going to be gone now, but they're tearing down the old building that it was in. But this was a long time ago, but I think like 2000. But yeah, cool experience. You know? Don Zientara, one of the guys who started Discord with Ian or whatever, but it was a fun experience.
Yeah.
Little piece of punk rock history.
That's cool. That first Alkaline Trio, I don't know if it's their first album. Maybe I'll Catch Fire. That song on that album is so fucking good.
Yeah, it is.
So good.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, I've been having a hard time lately even listening to music, because it's like heartbreaking that, like,
I know
a lot of the stuff that I like, I'll listen to Cursive and I'll be like, okay, well, Cursive's coming here and I can't go to the Cursive show, and I just want to, you know, just do emo shit unbothered, and no one will let me.
Matt Skiba taught me that I can write weird lyrics.
Yeah. His lyrics are really fucking,
I remember hearing Radio for the first time and being like, shaking like a dog shitting razor blades. I was like, you can write stuff like that? And he's like, I'm gonna do that too.
I like almost got grounded for like playing that song in my house. My sister, like, we like get along really well now, but in high school we didn't get along very well, and she would like bring the lyrics of the music I was listening to my parents, and they would be like, what the fuck?
Match you out. That's so fun.
Oh yeah, you were in North Carolina, huh?
Yeah.
You were in the Bible Belt. That makes sense.
And like that one Saves the Day, well, all the Saves the Day albums were basically about just like fucking murdering your girlfriend. And
yeah. Yeah. Through Being Cool. That was a really good album. Love that. Yeah. So good. I remember one time my friend Tom and I were in his bedroom, and he had the NWA cassette, and his windows were open, and his dad was on the deck outside, like, we didn't know that, and he was blasting it, and his dad was so pissed, like, what is that shit, turn that shit off, like, it was like just awfulness.
It's iconic, Dad, get a life.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know anything.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you these three questions that we ask everyone. It has nothing to do with anything, but all right. If you were on death row, what would your final meal be?
I love this question so much. Because I just love food. It's funny too, because Ron, every time you ask the question, like, I have like a new answer primed in my head. I'm like, oh, what would it be tonight?
I'm just going to say what comes to mind, and I don't think it's right. I think it's really fucked up and wrong.
There's no right answers here.
But tomorrow you're going to wake up and be like, fuck, I should have said this.
Well, I just keep thinking Chipotle burrito.
Just
because, like, we're in... shit like that is kind of hard to come by where we are. So I'm like, I haven't had it in a long time. That's a disgusting
giant burrito
and wrong
is a
answer.
Good answer. It's a good answer.
That is a good answer.
There's nothing wrong with a giant burrito.
How do you take your Chipotle burrito? I mean, what's in it?
You know, you got to put rice, black beans, pay extra for the guac,
correct,
lettuce, chicken, salsa. That's all.
Mm.
I also never had a burrito until college, because I was like a ridiculously picky eater, like real piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I basically just ate like bread and cheese my whole life. And then I started getting shamed by my peers, so I started eating vegetables and burritos.
Yeah, you gotta have burritos. Yeah.
As long as you put lettuce in there, you're good. It's like negative
calories.
Yeah,
it's healthy.
Yeah.
So I ate a burrito right before we started this.
I want a burrito now. Oh well. Yeah, Chipotle's, that's good shit. And their chips are really good too. It's so salty.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. I went back to New York, and like my favorite thing in the world are like New York bagels, and I love the salted bagels.
Yes. You can't get those here. It's so fucked up. No, I'm gonna have to start making them.
I know.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't do bagels. It's sad, but, you know, but they got other stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're killed. You go on death row, and now you're dead. So, now something they do now is that you can take your ashes and they actually do this. Like, if you want to be cremated, you could take your ashes and form it into a vinyl record of your choice. So if you were to have your ashes eternalized in a record, in a vinyl record, which one would it be?
I know it's a hard one.
I'm like mad at everyone that I used to love. So. That's an especially difficult question.
I know. It really does suck, like, hearing people say shit. It's like,
I've stated it many times. It's one of the most disappointing things in my entire life.
I have a friend on Facebook. He just recently put, he's like, well, Propaganda, another band that I'll never listen to or something. And I didn't even want to see what they said because I liked that album, How to Clean Everything, too much.
they haven't really been like super outspoken. I'm definitely not stopping listening to them. Yeah. Even their newer stuff, god damn, it's so good.
I guess I would say Promise Ring, Very Emergency, because that was the first vinyl record I bought, and I also feel like that like was when I started getting into buying vinyl and just music in general.
I remember Promise Ring. They were a good band back in the day. Yeah. First vinyl.
My high school girlfriend was like super into them, I think. And the Pixies.
Pixies are a great band. Great band.
Yeah. Do you remember there was like a 17 magazine article about like how to be emo? Like, I guess this would have been the early 2000s.
Really?
And because it was like hip. And I think they like referenced the Promise Ring. And that was when I feel like I was like, the Promise Ring is over. But it was fine.
All right. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of punk rock or music in general, if you want to go, you know, and you get a crazy horse, so you get five.
Oh, God. Does it have to be like, what if I'm bad with people's names? Does it has to be individuals?
Yeah, individuals.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could totally be like, you know, the singer guy from this band. Yeah. Hey, one of us might know their name.
So. Probably David Bazan, even though I'm frustrated with his COVID tour policy. Dan Behar.
Tell people what the band too, just in case they don't
know. Yeah. David Bazan, Pedro the Lion. Dan Behar is Destroyer.
This is a tough question.
Probably really Matt Skiba, to be honest.
Is that the first Matt Skiba, Ron?
I don't think so. I think so.
I don't think it is either.
And then both of the singers in The Clash, but I'm totally blanking on their names.
With Joe Strummer, right? And oh my God.
Who's the guy who sings on Guns of Brixton?
Yeah, I feel like an idiot right now. I should know this.
I should know this if I'm saying that I like them so much.
Yeah, there's people screaming at their right now going, it's this.
Well, yeah. Him.
That was five, right?
It's kind of embarrassing. I didn't really listen to, I kind of started with like early 2000s emo and then like never went back until recently. So I'm having like a recent Clash phase, like over the past like 4 or 5 years. And like, holy shit. They're
Mick Jones.
Doing a great job.
Oh yeah. Mick Jones.
Mick Jones.
I stopped buying music in 98. So, all my favorite bands. It's like, I know their albums, still, like,
you got plenty of vinyls. What are you talking about?
I do, but I didn't have a record player forever. I still bought vinyl records because I'm a moron.
Whatever. I mean, you got the player now.
Yeah, but it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, so what? It still works.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So you do vinyl manufacturing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work for a broker.
Okay.
So
what's the turnaround on shit for you guys? Or like,
it's a real shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. We know.
I think it probably like, what is 7 or 8 months probably right now.
Okay.
Depending on, and I mean, if some, And I'm sure we're more expensive using us than if someone went directly to the plant. And I bet those fucking turn times are like 2 years or something ridiculous, yeah, because it's just like, it's completely out of hand. Like, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I do understand what's going on, but I also like, it seems very, just very bizarre and like unsustainable in a way that's like inevitably going to result in like crippling stock liabilities for like small labels and bands. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the major music industry caused it because nobody wants to fucking work for them anymore. Cause you know, so, you know, people like Adele, and I know there's plenty of others, you know, are making vinyl themselves now. And like, you make 20 million copies of a record. Like, what do you, you know, yeah, what do you expect the wait times are going to be?
Yeah.
We had somebody on a couple of weeks ago who said that they, they're going to get theirs back next January. So, fuck.
Oh yeah.
But I guess that is like, that's 10 months.
But. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it does suck, and then people are missing street dates and stuff. But then I've been thinking about a lot of like music industry problems lately, and street dates are so arbitrary. Like, having press focus on one date is just so goofy. Right. Like, the whole setup is just ridiculous. Like, so I mean, there's a lot to, part of what I want to do with my website is like tutorials and things like that, but I've just been kind of brainstorming a lot, because I think we kind of need to not necessarily assume that the way things have been done is the best way to do it. And mm-hmm. I think that's like a good way to improve things. Like, but I mean, that's easier said than done. So
yeah. Yeah, totally.
Hey, you know, like, it's worth working constantly. Like, I mean, constantly reinventing yourself to figure out new ways is a good thing. You know, yeah, a lot of people, you know, get, I think maybe lazy is the wrong word, but stuck in the same old, and doing things the same way. You know, sometimes shit happens, shit goes bad. Maybe it's time to reinvent, you know?
Yeah.
It's worth the work. You know, what else are you going to do in life?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what's the rush? Just do it right. Even if people yell at you, like, it's, right, it'll be worth it in the end.
That's right.
Maybe.
You got to do something, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think that's why cassettes are getting bigger and bigger now. Because, you know, naturally, as wait times for vinyl go up, people are going to go for other platforms.
Yeah. But the cassette manufacturing is pretty limited too. Like, all of this stuff is just like the equipment for it is just so limited. And
yeah,
I think there's only like 2 cassette plants in North America. I might be wrong, but
wow.
I don't think, I mean, no one, why would anyone run a cassette plant? I know. Like,
I mean, the collectors love them nowadays.
Yeah.
I got a meeting next Wednesday with a dude that he only does cassettes, like label wise or whatever, to put our most recent record out on cassette, which is cool. Cause I don't have any cassettes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
No, I love, like, as much as I complain about it, I love physical retail. I love cassettes and records, but the cassette thing I really get, because especially if you want to spend $10, like, or give a band $10, like, you might as well get, if you spend $10 for digital, but you could just get digital and a cassette, like.
Right. It's basically the carrier for the digital download.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's just a cool way to give out the digital download. It's too expensive too, vinyl.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just like so expensive. And, you know, you always have so much left over. It's like, just get a cassette. Put a digital download in there, charge a few bucks, and
cassettes have become like a big like collector's item now too. I don't even think people listen to them, they just collect them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Who has a tape player?
Yeah,
that's right.
not me.
Yeah.
Well, I went to like a conference once, and it was something like some insane percentage of people that buy vinyl records don't actually listen to them. So I bet the cassette amount is like, especially when
100%.
Like, there was a period in time where like Urban Outfitters had like the highest like portion of vinyl sales or something, and it's just like
super weird.
Okay. No one's listening to that.
Yeah,
shit, walking into like Target now, there's like a vinyl section. I'm like, what?
Oh yeah.
What,
it is weird. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's always in like disarray, like when I guess during like peak CD, it was like, you know, there's like rows and rows and everything was organized and it was like cool.
Yeah.
And now it's like just shoved in the back corner and like nothing's in order. And it's just like,
yeah,
just like, yeah. There you go. Look through them.
You're welcome.
They should be in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. If not, can you put them in alphabetical
order? Yeah. Yeah. You mind reorganizing those while you're looking through them?
Let's play a game. Cool. What's going on with Music for All Club? Like anything coming up in the near future?
Well,
what about that festival you might? We're possibly thinking of.
I want to try to book. We're working to try to book more events here, and we just moved here. And there's like a studio space that we can book like small shows at, and then an outdoor space. So to start as like a kind of like testing out the waters, we're doing like a film series.
Nice.
And the first one's going to be Saturday, and I don't know if this will make people think I'm insane, but we're playing like old Alex Jones documentaries because they're really entertaining. and they're hard to find. So we're like screening them against in this like outdoor screen. And then we're going to try to set it up so people can listen in their cars, like a little makeshift drive-in.
Like a drive-in.
So that should be cool. And then there's a guy named Alan Mosley, and he does like a TV show, and we're doing like his, like a little shindig for his like annual anniversary thing in June. But I'd like to, we haven't done booked any music stuff yet, partially because I'm kind of just more looking to find more people in Nashville, because we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm not really sure. Like, I would love to book stuff out here, but I just, people, I don't know that anyone would want to come out here.
Gotcha.
So I've been just kind of trying to, find venues or other places. And what about, are y'all able to book anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a show on Saturday at the Pie Shop. When we first booked it, it was like, you know, low restrictions. Like you could at least show like a negative test. And then it went to, you have to be vaccinated. Now it's back to negative test. Like I said, DC is open. Like that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I don't understand why some of the places are still doing that.
Well, and the tests aren't free, are they? That's the thing I don't get. Like, this is very cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classist.
Yeah.
Like, we're banning people from shows unless they want to fork out like a solid hundo. Like, what the fuck?
Right, right. And it's like also like, where are the people who like say that voter ID is racist? And how is it not racist to see papers to go get a cup of coffee? Like, what the fuck? I don't know. I'll
so backwards.
Get shit on for that, but whatever. I don't care anymore. Fuck.
Are y'all playing on Saturday, or is it just the band?
No, our bands are like on pause.
Oh, okay.
Right now,
So we throw like Our Brains Hurt Presents shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. Cool.
And then we do like the podcast live. Well, not necessarily live, but we base in between the bands, like we interview like the bands that just played, and then and then we put that whole thing together and make an episode out of it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Are they always at the Pie Shop?
In DC, there's like not that many mid-level. I don't know, Matt, what would you think? Is Pie Shop's like a mid-level
venue? Yeah, like second tier.
Yeah. There's like a bunch of like smaller, not even a bunch, just a couple of like smaller, like where like super local bands could get together. And then there's like, you know, the 930 Club and Anthem, where the huge bands come through. But for like, mid-tier, Pie Shop is like one of two maybe in DC.
And on top of that, like, I mean, well, number one, Ron has a good in with them from knowing somebody there for a while, but they like, they do things there that like a lot of venues that do punk shows don't do. Like they have a great in-house sound. Like they have several sound guys or sound people, but like the way they do sound is just, you just don't see it that much in punk rock. Like they sound check all the bands. So every single band, including the opener, is going to sound amazing. And they really put the work in, I don't know. The owner's really cool and stuff. So it's hard to like say like, oh, we'd book a show somewhere else. Cause like they just do everything so right there.
Yeah. They have an awesome back line. Like all you need to do is like show up with your guitars and you're good to go. They have a green room where they, you know, everybody gets like a ticket for like a piece of savory and a piece of sweet pie.
Aww.
So, and then you get like, they for the green room, they stock it with like cans of beer and bottled water, stuff like that. So it's, they really take care of like the artists, which is awesome, which is what I love. So
it's a great spot.
Yeah. That's really, that's the only place. And I do not like Baltimore. I don't care. I'm sure Baltimore hates me by now because I say it all the time.
But, I mean, who does like Baltimore? That's the
question. People like Baltimore.
What? Who?
The people, dude, people who love Baltimore love fucking Baltimore.
Well, and yeah.
They will murder you.
Well, yeah, I know that. It's pretty clear. They've shown their colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was, dude, when we went to Baltimore, like the last time we went, I was blown away at like how much like Baltimore had taken a turn for the worst from COVID. Like, yeah, I've been to Baltimore a million times in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's always been, you know, there's bad parts of Baltimore, which is like pretty much just Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
Baltimore's like, the bad section of Maryland. Yeah. It's bad neighborhood of
Maryland. I mean, it used to be the armpit of the East Coast until Jersey stole that title from
it.
Yeah. Now it's like the knee pit, you know. But
the taint of the
country. I was blown away at how much worse Baltimore was. Like it has always been not great, but like there was like way more homeless people there. There was like way more trash everywhere. I was completely blown away. Like I know Baltimore had been like taking a turn for the better there for a little while. They were like, yeah, like the city had gotten cleaned up a good bit. And like, they were trying to like, you know, get this whole tourist thing happening with like the Inner Harbor and man, that just completely went to shit during COVID.
I mean, the repercussions of COVID are going to be, when the dust settles and everything, the lockdowns, it's just going to be awful when people measure like all the bad that the lockdowns did. It's just going to be,
I mean, it's already
tragic. Yeah.
You're already seeing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Overdoses, suicides.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the insane part.
Depression. Like,
The suicides. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that's like the number one cause of death in America now is freaking suicide. It's crazy. I mean, aside from, I guess, COVID for the last couple of years, but like.
With COVID. People with COVID.
Or whatever. But yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, man. Like.
Well, that's the thing that's so sad about. I've seen a lot of like music industry mental health initiatives to try to help people with depression. And it's like, you let people fucking play live again and you don't shame them for it, that would make them feel better. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's like so clear that this is, you know, taking like a significant toll on people, and like musicians need to play music to other people. Right. And it's just completely, and they're just being told that their problems are stupid and to go sit in their room alone.
Yeah.
And
their problems are not stupid.
No,
their problems are real, just like everybody else's. Like, you know, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of the COVID like fear and stuff like that people have gathered is causing, you know, on, you know, both sides of the aisle, is causing them to be super depressed.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're not scared of it or you are scared of it, and however you live your life through it all, there's depression on both sides.
Right.
And like, we need to be sympathetic to one another to stop like that from happening.
Yeah.
People are dying from that, which is,
It sucks. Even the people who are like super, super scared of it, it sucks.
Yeah.
That's happened to them.
To me, it's far worse that people are like dying from those things and like idealism and stuff like that than it is from, you know, I'm gonna point people to a book again. I know I've talked about this book at least one other time on this podcast, but if you are out there and you are depressed for whatever reason, especially if it's like COVID or the ongoing, you know, the war right now, or just the world in general, there's this book by this dude named Johan Hari called Lost Connections. It's all about depression. A lot of it stems from like addiction and stuff like that, but or the way he writes about it. But it's an eye-opening book, as it basically just talks about like alternative reasoning to, you know, help stop depression, and it's not taking pills. It's a fantastic book. I could talk about it for hours. But if you're out there and you're depressed, buy the book and read it. It will help.
Well, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. It was awesome to meet you.
Yeah, it was really nice to talk to y'all.
Yeah, we got to keep the relationship going because...
Absolutely.
Because you are rad and you... Yeah, we need rad people around us, so...
And your blog is rad, and the piece you wrote on punk rock and, like, culture and what's going on in the music scene right now was
spot on.
It was pretty amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah, thank you so much. Y'all have been very nice to me, which has been very encouraging. Awesome. And yeah, I hopefully will be able to start actually collaborating more and booking shows and stuff.
Cool.
That's the goal. So
yeah. Anything that we can do to help, just let us know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'll keep in touch with y'all.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. I'll see you on Twitter.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thanks for hanging out for another week. Be sure to check out punkboxrocks.com. That's punkboxrocks.com for your monthly punk rock merch subscription service. And check out merchslut.com for all t-shirts, punk rock, and all accessories that are cool as shit. Merchslut.com. Check us out on all social media outlets at Our Brains Hurt, ourbrainshurt.com. Follow me on Twitter at The Caffeine Punk. That's where I'm most active. And follow Matt on Twitter at MattAlive13. Have a safe week. Adios.
How do I do this shit? I can still hear you. So what do I have to press? Close.